A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 2, 2003, entitled The Secret of Dying Well. The texts for the sermon are 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, and Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
It's such a moving experience, this service, and then to see all of you streaming to the table, to know the wonder of a loving community. It really is quite overwhelming. And what a beautiful privilege it is for us to be here together with sacred memories and stories. As we continue to celebrate this All Saints Day, I want to think with you for just a few moments on the secret of dying well. If you read the Gospels, there is no way you can reconcile the way in which Jesus died. It's generally considered that Mark is the earliest gospel. Matthew and Luke followed him very closely. And John, of course, stands out by himself. But if you read those four accounts, you'll find that Matthew is pretty much an exact replica of Mark. So there you have one picture. And it's the picture of Jesus in utter desolation, crying out in the darkness of that hour, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you would go to John, you would find John's portrait of Jesus is a Jesus who is simply in control. As the Passion story opens, and Jesus says, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me. And throughout that Passion account, it is obvious that Jesus is really in charge, even though he is a prisoner about to be crucified. And his final words, taking care of his mother, acknowledging his thirst, and then saying, it is finished. My work is finished, completed, done. Luke, although he follows Mark, as does Matthew, does not follow Mark and the account of the crucifixion. You remember the familiar crucifixion story of Luke. It's beautiful. Jesus, experiencing all of the horror of the darkness that the human family is capable of, expressing gracious forgiveness, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then hanging there between two criminals, one on his right and one on his left, railed on by one, beseeched by another to be remembered. And in the midst of his own anguish, he reaches out, as always he had done, and said, today you'll be with me. And then, borrowing the psalmist's expression, he dies, trustingly. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So, from the utter desolation of Mark and Matthew to the Jesus in charge of John to the rather human, beautiful Jesus of Luke. You can't possibly reconcile those accounts, and we know now that those are not words from the cross anyway. These Gospels written decades later, certainly based on memory and oral tradition. So some such expressions could have been made, but we don't know that. And that doesn't really matter, because what we do know is that the Gospel writers were painting portraits for us. They were artists. They were painting portraits of a life. And they painted the portraits of this life in its dying. John, for me, is a bit too contrived. Jesus, a bit too above it all. Matthew and Mark, well, I'm glad for them, because I know that it's true to human experience that there are those times when the only thing we can say is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so I'm glad that there was a portrait of Jesus that identified him with that kind of human desolation. But as for me, I have to choose Luke. I have to choose Luke because Luke seems to reflect in Jesus' death the way Jesus was in his life. That amazing, gracious, forgiving of those who were doing him wrong. Amazing. I think Father, forgive them has got to be one of the most startling revelations possible. How is it possible? And yet what we have imbibed about Jesus makes that so consistent with who he is pictured to be. And then reaching out in compassion and in care, so characteristic of his life. And then finally, that deep trust and the grace to let go. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Three different portraits, three different stories. You can choose your own favorite, and maybe sometimes you'll choose one, and maybe sometimes you'll choose another. There are times when we need all of those. But again, I choose Luke, because it speaks so powerful to me of what I have come so deeply to believe. And that is that the secret of dying well is living well. That the secret of dying well is living well. Living with the grace to forgive others and ourselves. Living with the kind of care and compassion that draws us out of ourselves to embrace the other. Living with a kind of deep peace that in fundamental trust allows us to let go. I think the secret of dying well is living well. It was true of Paul in his own final testimony, as we have it in that second letter of Timothy. Time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. The secret of dying well is living well, living with a purpose and a passion, committed, devoted, fascinated, having one's life grasped by that which is bigger than oneself, that which is full of grace and love and joy and freedom. Bonhoeffer died that way. When they called his name, he said to his English fellow prisoner, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." And in the case of Paul, there was this deep conviction about that final vindication of all things. Paul had that apocalyptic sense of the imminent end of the end of history. Bonhoeffer had that too. He had at least a deep sense of the presence of God in his life. Stories. Jesus, Paul, Bonhoeffer. Had an interesting experience this summer. It's well known here that my Tuesdays are kept with religious devotion at the table down at Duba's. And this one whom I've come to know so well and love so dearly and respect so deeply, Duncan Littlefair, had a medical problem, complications, so that he drifted near the edge. Intense pain, the deep of the night. And in his return to the table, he was so anxious to tell us. To tell us of being so near the edge where one could really let go and move into the darkness, but peacefully. And this good friend of mine is a religious naturalist for whom this life is the gift of life and to be lived well without anything beyond. And I see him in such peace, such wonder and awe at the gift of life. Another story. Another story. If you were told that this was the last day that you were to live, how would you spend it? I hope you would spend it just the way you intended to spend it before you found out that it was the last day. That life was so good. That it was lived with such grace. That purpose was pursued passionately. That all of one's energies and all of one's gifts were drawn out of oneself so that notification of the end would be, well, just the natural course of things. Stories. Jesus, Paul, Bonhoeffer, Duncan Littlefair. I am convinced that whatever there is in that mystery that is our source and our ultimate destination, I am convinced that to live well these days is the secret of dying well. To live without denial, to die without regret, to live fully, to give ourselves in prodigal abandon, to enjoy, to be free. Ah, good friends, it is so good and so rich. The secret of dying well is living well, and it is for us to live well today. As has been announced here last week, I have pneumonia. And on Thursday, I had an x-ray. I have had such wonderful medical care from my dear Dan Powers, and so he wanted an x-ray on Thursday so that he could see me on Friday to see if the antibiotic had won the battle or not. And so I showed up on Friday, and I was called in. That awful moment when you're asked to step on the scale. And then I offered my arm for the blood pressure to be taken, and in those moments, my heart began to race in a way that I have never experienced before. I know now, for you medical people out there, that it was an SVT, a supraventricular tach something or other. And I'm sitting there. My blood pressure's good, my weight's awful. And my heart's beating twice as fast as it should. So Dan told me that the x-ray showed that there was still pneumonia, that pneumonia could trigger this kind of thing, but I had to go to ER. So I made my way to the emergency room for the second time in 10 days. And of course, when someone comes in with a racing heart, they don't monkey around. It's in the wheelchair with you and on the bed and all kinds of wires and hookups and one thing and another. And when they got me all set and were ready to read the whole thing, the heart went back to normal. But of course, they don't let you out of those places so easily. They ask all kinds of questions about why would that happen. So I had 6 hours in the emergency room on Friday to contemplate my All Day Saints sermon theme. And you have to believe, I was thinking about it. And I was thinking about me thinking about it. And I want to say this morning, the thesis holds. The thesis holds. So many things to live for. So many people to live for. So many horizons yet to journey toward. So many the wonderful joys of life. But if Friday had been the last Friday, It would have been fine. Because by the grace of God and the love and grace of this community and my own beautiful family and surrounded with friends and, why, my God, the life has been so good. So that I'm convinced that the secret of dying well is living well. Live well, good folks. Be good to yourselves. Forgive yourselves. Forgive one another. Embrace. Leave no stone unturned for kindness and justice and peace. And all will be well. All will be well. All manner of things will be well. Thanks be to God.